This morning, I'd like to turn to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians 6 and verse 9. I'll get it up here on the screen so you can see it. There you go. Now, Paul just says very briefly, let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And telling the Galatians that they were to not lose heart in doing good, he was referring to something that very often happens. We become exhausted as we go through life. As Christians, we need to deal with this feeling appropriately and not allow ourselves to lose heart, to faint or lose heart. So, what about feeling weary? Well, let's talk just a little bit about that. First of all, it's normal. You're all glad to hear that. It's normal. Anytime we are working or facing difficulties, it takes a toll on us. The life of a Christian involves working for the Lord. Notice in Matthew 28 and verse 20, Jesus, after he tells the disciples to go and to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, then he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So what Jesus taught his disciples to do, they were to teach disciples to do the same thing, who were to teach disciples to do the same thing. You get it? And so it goes. That's how the gospel's promulgated. But it's work. It's not easy. And sometimes they would even have to suffer for it. If you look in Luke 9, verse 23, he said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. There's going to be work involved in that. Going to be work involved. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul assures us that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You can be assured of that. Because living godly in Christ Jesus runs against the grain. It's not the way the world works. And you're going to be persecuted for it. But this feeling of weariness is something that will hopefully be temporary. Because Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Well, what do we have to rejoice about? Well, in the book of Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, we read about a place where God will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There should be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. I don't need to elaborate on this because Evan elaborated on it last week. But it's heaven. That's what we're all looking for. And this should be a motivation for us. Paul talks about, and remember now, Paul in his life suffered much persecution. But he wrote to the Philippians and said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Did he let himself get weary? Did he lose heart? No. He just kept on keeping on. When we feel like we're weary, we need to not allow ourselves to lose heart, as in our reading in Galatians 6 and 9. But also in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, that is Jesus, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Whenever you start feeling weary, you think about what Christ went through. You think about what Christ went through. How many of us have had to come face to face with anything as severe as what he felt and what he suffered? We've got it easy compared to him. Got it easy. But there are some wrong ways to become weary. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, we may become weary by doing evil. Yeah, that's right. In Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 5, everyone will deceive his neighbor, will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. They're not weary in well-doing. They are weary in committing iniquity. In fact, they become so caught up in iniquity that they become slaves of sin. Look at Romans 6, verse 16 and 17. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Now, that was the people over there in Rome. But he said, God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. They were delivered from that. But it's very easy to become a slave of sin. And we don't want to let ourselves become weary to gain wealth. Now, I know that a lot of people are going to have to think about this. But if you look with me over at Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5, he says, do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Well, does this mean we're not supposed to work? No, that's not what that's talking about. That's not what that's talking about. But the goal of simply acquiring more and more and more wealth, if that's what your life's all about, you're becoming weary in a bad cause, a bad way. And I know a lot of people like this. There's a lot of people in this world that are like this. They become weary to gain wealth. But there's also those who become weary in the futile pursuit of knowledge. Look at Ecclesiastes 12, verse 12. Solomon says, and further, my son, be admonished by these. Of the making of many books, there is no end. Now, they didn't have the libraries we have here, but they had enough of them. And he said, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Well, does that mean that all study is wrong? No, that doesn't mean it's wrong. Because over in 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul tells Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What he says over here is studying things that are not important can be a waste of your time. Waste of your time. And some simply study for the purpose of gaining knowledge. They aren't interested in accumulating the wisdom that comes from God's Word. They're not interested in becoming more familiar with God's Word. They want to know what everybody else has to say. Yep. I see a lot of that on Facebook. A lot. They want to read what everybody else has to say. Why don't they just go to God's Word? That's where the answers are. They're becoming weary in the futile pursuit of knowledge. Well, let's look at some right ways to become weary. Okay? I think we should give attention to this. Now keep in mind that we are talking about becoming tired as we do what's right. That's what we're talking about. But becoming tired of doing what's right is not what we're talking about. Okay? I think we would all agree that we have a responsibility of serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 12 and verse 11. Well, we have an example of that. And that example is Jesus. Jesus was doing the will of the Father in spite of suffering. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For if are to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Now that's the ideal that we're looking at now. That's the ideal. We want to be like Jesus. He left us an example that we follow in his steps. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus came to this earth to work. He didn't come here for a vacation. Jesus came here to work. And the end of his work was the death on the cross. That's what the end of his work was. But you know, we have work to do too. In fact, we are told in Philippians 2 and 12 to work out our own salvation. Now look at this. Paul says, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That is an individual responsibility that I have and you have, to be sure that I'm compliant with what God says, pleasing to God in every way, doing the will of God in every way, that I may be assured of my salvation. Otherwise, I might get weary working, but working for the wrong thing. Working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But, you know, when you're doing that, that requires that you do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, what does it mean to do whatever I do in keeping with the what Christ says to do? How can I do that? Well, you know, you can't do it without knowing what he said and what his apostles have said and taught. And so it behooves me to work on knowing what God's will is so that I can perform it in my life. It isn't just going to hit me. It isn't just going to come by osmosis. I'm going to have to work at it to find out what the will of Christ is. But someone says, well, what about doing good to others? Well, yes, we are to do good to others. That's no doubt about that. In Galatians 6, verse 9, it says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we lose heart. That talks about that very thing. Doing good. And that means providing for physical necessities. Galatians 6, verse 10, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. James sets before us a rather interesting scenario, and he's teaching about faith and works. But James says in James 2, verse 15, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you don't give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Well, that's a good question. You have a lot of good thoughts, and you're such a sad condition. So sad. Be warmed and filled. Go your way. And they go, what? I'm still cold and hungry. You haven't done anything for him. Now listen to what James says. Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. That's right. If you want to do good to all men, especially of the household of faith, you got to do something. Not just say about something about it or think about it. Do something. Actually do something. But not only this, we have to provide for spiritual needs as well. Look at Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if anyone is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We have a spiritual responsibility to provide for spiritual needs. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 12 and 13, the Hebrew writer wrote, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What's the admonition here? Well, he just got through talking about the Israelites wandering in the wilderness. That's what he's just talking about. And he talked about they fell because of unbelief. But in another passage, he says, they fell because of disobedience. Which is it? Well, they're both the same. They're both the same. Now he says, lest any one of you... what? He's writing to Christians. He says, any one of you, an evil heart of unbelief, you have to beware, lest you yourself be caught up in this world of sin. But here's what we're supposed to do about it. Exhort one another while it is called today. You can't exhort somebody tomorrow because tomorrow isn't here yet. And if you try to exhort them yesterday, yesterday's already gone. So when do you exhort them? Today. Today. The idea of working. Now I'm going to talk about working for a manner of making a living. Is another way that we can serve our God. If you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 11 through 13. You find Paul saying that there are some among you who walk in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, writing to the Thessalonians, brethren, don't grow weary in doing good. That's interesting that he put that in there, isn't it? It's interesting. We have to work. Paul is a man who worked. He was a man who went into a town and picked up the work of a tent maker, because that's what he was trained at. And he was working with his hands while he preached the gospel. Why? So he wouldn't hinder the gospel. I am convinced that men today who are intent on preaching the gospel need to be able to do the same thing. Because it may come to a time when you can't get support to preach the gospel, and you want to preach it, so go ahead and preach it anyway and just work a secular job. As you know, those of you who've been here a while, long time ago, it became necessary for me to make money on the side so I could keep preaching the gospel. And the Lord blessed me abundantly. So abundantly that when I tried to get out of it, people kept hounding me. No, I'm not in that business anymore. No, I don't defer. No, I don't work on computers anymore. I don't consult anymore. And they don't like that. But I'm sorry. I did that when I was necessary to help with my support. Paul did that for himself. But Paul, we see described this work, if you will, and how this will bring about a trial. Listen to it. He said, then the lawless one, and talking about being revealed, lawless one whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth will destroy with his brightness, will be destroyed with the brightness of his coming. Paul was looking for the time that this all will cease. All this will cease. And the provision would be all in place for us to no longer perform that kind of work. But, you know, along this line, very closely related to it, is the responsibility of providing for our families. Providing for our families. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, even if we, when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. What's the principle? If a man doesn't work, he's not worthy of eating. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But that's by God's design. That's by God's design. If a person is unable to work or unable to provide for themselves, someone else needs to help them. But if a person can work, they need to work. Now, it doesn't say what kind of work they're to do. Just work. And along this same line, 1 Timothy 5 and 8. Now, we're talking about widows over here. But he said, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. What? That's right. All these deadbeat dads that are running around this country, this describes them. This describes them. They are not willing to meet their responsibility of providing for their own. They're worse than an unbeliever. When we put forth the effort to provide for our own, we need to remember that we are to do our work heartily as for the Lord. Now let's look at that verse for just a moment. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Whatever you do, anything you do, any kind of work, anything, do it unto the Lord and not to men. You know, whenever you look at your work that way, you have a different appreciation for it. You stop thinking about what you don't like about that boss and how lousy that paycheck is. And you start thinking about the service you're doing to the Lord. That's amazing. That's amazing. We need to be of this mind. Now I want to talk about, in the few minutes I've got, and it looks like I'm getting close, I want to talk about how to keep from growing weary. And you know, I weighed several different things when I developed this point to think about, well, what really is the key? And you know what I came up with? The key to not growing weary is keeping your eyes on Jesus. Look at Hebrews 12 and look at verses 2 and 3. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. There it is right there. Looking to Jesus. That's the secret. He is our example. Remember, he suffered more than any of us have. But he was familiar with heaven. He didn't just read about it. He knew about it. And he knew it was worth it to endure it. We can learn a lot from that. But along the way, besides this, I think it's important for us to get encouragement from others. We read back here in Galatians 6 and 2 about bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We need to help each other. We need to encourage and give each other support. In 1 Corinthians 16, 17, and 18, Paul says, I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunus, and Achaeus, for what was lacking on your part they supplied. For they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge such men. Paul said, this is what I needed. I needed that shot in the arm. I needed some encouragement. And these men did it. They came on your behalf and they did it. But there's something else I think is important about keeping from becoming weary, is focusing on our own work. Now let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 11 and 12 and see what I mean by this. For I hear that some of you, we are walking among you disorderly and not working at all, but are busybodies. Now, what is a busybody? Well, it's somebody that needs to be admonished to work in a quiet manner. It means do your own work without meddling in the affairs of others. Now that lengthy definition comes from Joseph Henry Thayer, the Greek to English lexicon. Physical exhaustion helps us sleep. When you get tired, you want to sleep. But mental burdens make sleep difficult. If you look with me, please, at Ecclesiastes 5 and 12, the wise man says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. You know why? Number one, he's always worried about getting more. Number two, he's afraid someone's going to come and take some of it. That's what it is. Many things can cause us to become weary. And some good things. But we must not get to the point where we lose heart. That's the important thing. We cannot let ourselves get to that point. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Don't go become weary in doing that which is good. Why? Because there's a time coming where you're going to reap what you sow. And it will be yours if, notice that big word, if, you don't lose heart. You don't lose heart. Because indeed, we all have this same promise. And God continues to work and to hold us responsible for our work in what He has told us to do and to encourage others to do the same.